The Fan on Demand.
A very good day. I'm Nigel Reed.
And I'm Bob Yerushi.
Thank goodness. And this is The Soccer Show on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This week, Canadian champions are crowned. How the Impact found the fortitude to frustrate the Whitecaps again. And are the knives out for the coach in Vancouver? Also this week, let them have it. The CSA claims it is listening. How would you improve the shape and the image of Canadian soccer from the ground up? And later, bad blood at BMO. I knew I was going to fall over that. As Canada and the US women prepare to renew their rivalry, we examine what's really at stake this weekend. All that and more, plus your opinion this weekend, right here on The Soccer Show. Have your opinion aired and shared. There are a couple of ways you can get in touch. You can email the show. And here's the email address, nigel@fan590.com. nigel@fan590.com. Or if you can say it in a sentence, perhaps a sentence and a half, you can tweet me, @Nigel_Reed. @Nigel_Reed, R-E-E-D. Talking of emails, Tommy did, after listening to last week's show, and he says this: why not get people who know what they're talking about on your show? It's awful to listen to the nonsense that you and your guests are talking. Thanks, Tommy. Well, you won't be listening to this week's show, so there we are. That's that sorted out. We have some excellent guests, by the way.
I want to leave now.
More about them in just a moment. Isn't that just the way you want to start a show, with that sort of compliment? If that's what it is?
Maybe Tommy should give us some examples of people we should have in.
Well, maybe he would. Actually, Tommy, yes. That's— why don't you do that? Yeah. You suggest the guests.
Suggest the people that we should have.
In fact, you can line them up.
Maybe I should leave, since I don't know anything.
No, I should be leaving, not you.
Should leave.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I have a little bit of, you know, criteria with regards to, you know, the credibility status.
Oh, for sure. Credibility, not an issue with me, with you.
But today we have a president with us.
We have a president, yeah. And we have a director.
And a director.
Oh, yes. We'll get to them in a moment. If you want to tweet me, do that as well, @Nigel_Reed. Tom says, just a comment on last night's Canadian championship. One, Vancouver accursed. Two, the Italians on the Impact compete and care. Well, that's, I think, where we'll start this week, because it was a thrilling contest for the neutral. Didn't really matter whether you were supporting the Impact or the Whitecaps in the Canadian Championship and Way Final. And, of course, it carries the prize not only of the Voyagers Cup, but also entry into next season's CONCACAF Champions League. And more than anything, I came away from that game thinking, I was really well entertained. I enjoyed that game. It was end-to-end stuff. You didn't know how it was going to end. Had a twist in the tail. And in the end, somebody has to lose.
I agree. I think it's the best MLS game that I've seen from an entertainment point of view. I think both teams played some compelling football. And the contributor there is
Tom.
Tom. Mm-hmm. Not the same Tom that said we don't know anything about soccer.
No, that was— No, absolutely not. I don't think so.
Tom, too, I agree with, because, you know, they did care. Both sides cared. They both wanted to win. Everybody wanted to win. Benches, coaching staff, the crowd was into it. Some terrific goals. And Montreal showed why they're going to be a contender right till the end, because they do have the mentor veterans, along with some pretty good local flavor guys, along with some American players that— that blend in nicely. They have a nice team. And that was Vancouver's game last night, Nigel, and Montreal's poise really got them the result.
So the Impact found a way to survive. They didn't win the game, but they didn't have to.
Right.
But isn't that what good teams do? They find a way, because they were probably the second best team on the night in the second leg. Vancouver certainly had the better of the first half, with no question. They got themselves in front twice, and then they did a bit of a TFC. And gave up that late goal, that late, crucial, decisive goal.
And poor Harvey must be pulling his hair this morning. He had that terrific chance when Maddock laid the ball back beautifully for him, and he missed the short side, and he's probably wishing he had that back. Some good saves on behalf of the Montreal keeper. And, Vancouver did everything they could to win that game. It wasn't meant to be. And to your point, Nigel, good teams get the results. because they believe in themselves.
Uh-huh.
And they force the other team to have doubts about whether they can win. And I think that's the biggest power that great names, great veterans have, is that. And I remember because I played with Franz Beckenbauer, and he never was skinned on a goal, and the paper never said the next day, you know, the winning goal from Houston was scored by who dribbled Franz Beckenbauer. That would never happen.
No.
Franz Beckenbauer doesn't get beaten.
Never.
And in many ways, it's the same thing with a name player like Nestor Ferrari. You know, they're rarely going to be at the end of a negative moment in a game, and that's because the other player actually doesn't believe that he can score a goal by beating someone like Nesta. And that goes a long way.
So if we agree then that over the 90 minutes of the second leg, the Whitecaps were the better team, and I don't think they're cursed, but they've never won this trophy. Lord knows when they will. One of the parts of the fallout of this is that now people are on the West Coast are saying, well, that's time for Martin Rennie. Not much happening in the league, despite having got them to the playoffs last season, not doing too well in 2013 in MLS, and the Voyagers Cup has gone elsewhere again. We know from past experience that Bob Lenarduzzi and co. are not always shy to pull the trigger, but we're only a third of the way into the season. But coaches, doesn't matter where you coach, doesn't matter what your name is, are always judged on results. It's a results-based business. That's it. If you win more than you lose, you probably keep your job. Any other criteria? If you're under 500, sooner or later, somebody's going to ask you to clear your desk.
Well, and that's it. The facts are that, Rennie did get the team into the playoffs last year, so there's a check mark on the positive.
Yeah.
But he's sitting near the bottom in the West, and unless there's some dramatic change in the way the team goes out and gets full results, then he's at risk. He's out of the Canadian Championship now, just like Toronto, and has seen more bad things than good. And I would say that Vancouver should be looking for something new and fresh, just like another team probably should be looking at it a little bit closer to home.
We'll get to that in a little while. High time we introduced our guest to you this week. High quality roundtable. We always endeavour, despite what Tommy says, to pull together some high-quality roundtables. And as Bob said, a president and a director this week. To my left, OSA president Ron Smale, and to his left, CSA director Nick Bontis, who are all here for a good reason. Gentlemen, great to see you.
Thank you.
So we've been talking about last night's game. Let's hear some thoughts from you. Did the better team lose, Ron?
I think it was a great game last night. And I thought it was exciting. I thought that Montreal kept their poise to the end of the game, and were patient, and it was good to see them come back. So it was an exciting game, and even the Canada game early against Costa Rica earlier in the week, another great great game from my perspective. Good to see our young players coming up and being exposed to international play, and I'm very pleased where we are.
Nick, I don't know whether you saw last night's game.
I did.
Thoughts on that?
You know, the first thing that came to my mind after the end of the game was that this was a perfect game for non-soccer people to have watched. Mm. Because it actually went back and forth. There was lots of action. There was drama. There was late goals. It was, 1-0, 1-1-2, 1-2-2. I mean, it's the type of soccer we always wish that we could always watch. So, back to your point, Bobby, if this is the type of game that we're going to have in the MLS moving forward, then MLS is a good, exciting brand of soccer.
The Canadian men's team had played the night before in Edmonton. That's a game I have to confess I didn't see, but you saw it.
And yes, I did.
You were relatively impressed with what you saw, despite the outcome, weren't you?
Well, it's a little more of the same story when it comes to Canadian soccer. But what I did like was I liked the attitude of the team. When Colin Miller is going to be directing the team, you know that the guys are going to be up and wanting to play for their country. Colin is going to give the right emotional speech before the game. I thought that they enjoyed playing. And I thought especially Kyle Becker played a lot more vertically than a lot of players in his position have played in the past. Our problem, of course, is finishing. Everybody who watched that game and has watched Canada over the years knows that's our problem. You know, they're blaming poor Daniil Henry, our center back, for missing headers, but It's up to the boys up front, Haber and Bonsu. I hope I pronounced
that. Edwini Bonsu.
Edwini Bonsu, who actually, you know, looked good at times. But unless we develop these creative players, these guys who have killer instincts, Nigel, guys that your teammates know that when that individual's on the field, you always have a chance to win. It's very important psychologically.
Well, Nick, you used to play as striker. Mm. I think you still do in the overage leagues, but you were actually a pretty serious player at one point in your college days and university days. And what I always hear about goal scorers, having always played at the other end of the field myself and put on the gloves, is that doesn't really matter what standard of soccer you play. To be able to finish the chances like Marco de Vaio, for example, mm-hmm. you have to have that coolness of thought, that serenity right. when that chance comes so that you can finish off what your teammates have done.
Yeah. It's being calm and cool and collected mm-hmm. in front of the goal. I think you nailed it on the head there. But when we're talking about Edwini Bonsu, there was a time during that game where he took a couple of Costa Rican defenders down that right wing, and they actually had a 10-yard lead on him. And 3 seconds later, he had a 10-yard lead on them. And the one thing we've always known in soccer is that speed kills. So that's the one positive thing that I want to take out of the game is that when it comes to an offensive threat, yes, you're right. We've never really had the superpower to be able to be offensive. I saw a lot of good things from Edwini Bonsu. But yeah, you're right. He's not the Marco de Vaio when it comes to finishing.
But Ron, you see the bigger picture and going back to what Nick was saying a little earlier on about being a palatable product and seeing a 2-2 game between the Whitecaps and Montreal. The great Canadian soccer fan or sports fan sees the Canadian men's team playing at home and losing again and not scoring a goal. That doesn't sit well, does it?
Doesn't sit well, but again, it comes back to the provincial body and the clubs and districts within all our provincial bodies producing good players. And we've got to get back to the basics of the game, proper technique, proper tactics. And that's what we're focused on now as a provincial body is to get back to the basics. So that when you have that striker out there who's calm, cool, and collected, they finish.
Well, sure. I mean, you need the foundation. You need the right foundation. But, Ron, this country needs more senior expression, more chances for players to develop at the strongest level possible that we can give them. And when we get the Habers and the Bonchus playing important games more regularly, then you're able to develop them. That's when you develop, when you get chances. You learn when you make a mistake, and you can't make a mistake two or three times because then it's too late.
Is it too easy to get picked for Canada right now? I mean, are these players, and credit to Colin Miller for giving youth its head to an extent. He's brought in these younger players. But it seems to me, and this isn't rocket science, but it does seem to me that they are perhaps getting an opportunity, some of them, by default, because the older players are getting older. World Cup qualifying has come and gone again. They're looking to put a roster together for this summer's Gold Cup, but, of course, the long-term goal is a long, long way away from that.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. It's the pool of players that we have, and we've had many a guest tell us that you know, the Canadians just don't have, you know, a wide assortment of players to choose from, especially when we start to go to the forward positions and the creative midfield positions. And those are areas that, you know, we have to wait and be patient and hope that the Lucas Cavallinis of the world one day will come back and be the big striker that we're looking for.
Well, let's hope he does. There's a very busy weekend of Canadian soccer ahead. We're going to hear about that. We're also going to hear about how the Canadian Soccer Association is listening and it wants your ideas. Yes, yours. We want them as well. Email the show, nigel@fan590.com or tweet me @Nigel_Reed. You're watching on Sportsnet World and listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We always welcome your contributions to The Soccer Show, so please engage with us. Email The Soccer Show, nigel@fan590.com or tweet me @Nigel_Reed. There's a quality roundtable, despite what Tommy says this week, with Reed Nyerushi and a president, the OSA president, Ron Smale, and CSA director, Nick Bontis. They are both here for a reason. We don't just get people in here and let them have a free ride, you know.
They have to earn the right to
Absolutely.
Be here.
They have to earn the right to be here, and they absolutely have to earn the free beer that follows the show.
Free beer. I'm not paying this week.
Oh, aren't you?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, you're doing the driving, so you're not paying?
I'm doing the driving. I'm not paying.
All right, fair enough. I wish you'd told me this before the show. I'd have found some reason not to turn up. Ron Smale, OSA president, very, very, very busy weekend for you and yours. It is the Hall of Fame, Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame weekend. The gentleman to my right was first in, weren't you, back in 2000 or thereabouts?
2000.
2000,
yes.
2000 there mm-hmm. you are. That's still got to be a moment that
yeah.
gives you a bit of a warm and fuzzy feeling, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, one of the best days of my life, yeah. Great day.
Some more quality players coming in the class of 2013. Jason DeVos, Paul Pesce-Solido. I think that's... Have we ever worked out how
Pesce-Solido.
He... Have we ever worked out how he pronounces his surname?
Ask...
Oh. Yeah.
You should ask Vic Rauter. He loves
oh, it. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. So Hall of Fame weekend. Of course, the rematch, they're calling it. The U.S. against Canada, or perhaps the other way around, Canada against the U.S., the women's game following that that little game in the London Olympics back in the late summer of 2012. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame first and foremost. It's become an annual staple of Canadian soccer, and it is, I think, well respected by those who are voted into it and by the soccer community at large. That's the impression I certainly get.
A good impression. Very good impression, good. Nigel. I just want to say to your listeners that the actual Hall of Fame is located at the Vaughan Center, which is at 7601 Martin Grove Road, and it's there for people to come in and see the history and the legacy of the game.
What's up there?
And it's a separate room that we have set aside. All the plaques, all the memorabilia, going back, right back to the early 1900s, and it's really good to walk through there and see greats like Bobby Arusha and that on the wall and read their profile, read their history, and share that with our up-and-coming athletes.
I seem to remember that last year, if I remember, it was the 100th anniversary of what was then the Canadian Football Association,
yes,
I think they used
correct.
To call
CSA.
It.
CSA, yeah.
That's right. And so, as you say, there's a lot of trophies and photographs and memorabilia. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. On Saturday, this Saturday at 11 a.m., we're having the inductees up to the center.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hall of Fame will be completely open to the public. They're more than welcome to come up and congratulate the inductees and take a tour through the center and just see the legacies that are there. And then, of course, Saturday night, the awards dinner, which is down at the Intercontinental Hotel at Simcoe and Front Streets.
Very posh.
And it's going to be a great evening, and we have over 250 guests that will be down there to recognize and honor those who have given their lives to this game, not only on the turf, but off the turf. And I think that's the real legacy of soccer. That's what I see more and more in my travels, Nigel, that the give back to the community is 200-fold from athletes who have given so much of their time and energy to this great game.
Question for you, and fairly obvious question, but I'm not sure I know the answer, which is why I'm answering it or asking it. How does one get in to the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame? What's the process?
Process is that we're open basically from 9 to 5. I mean, if somebody comes up,
no, I mean,
you mean from a
no? I mean, how do you get into the Hall of Fame?
How do you get in?
As an inductee.
Well, our procee is an inductee. Our procee is process is we obviously have a selection committee. They take a complete review of all players who are brought forward. Names are brought forward.
So you have to be retired, obviously, as a player.
Yes. Yep. Correct.
3 years.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
you have to be retired from the game 3 years, and then you're put into consideration. We have a selection committee that puts the names forward, and then we knock that selection for that year down to a comfortable number, whereby there's another voting committee that casts a vote for who they believe should be the men and women that will be inducted for that particular year, Nigel. So that's how it's done.
That's how it's done.
Yeah, and obviously it has to do with their careers. Representing Canada is probably the most important thing, but it's not the only thing. If a player was a prominent professional, if he's contributed to the game, and then that all comes into consideration.
And it's not just players, because you have builders and referees, builders, yes. And all Liners. Sorts and teams of distinction, if that's the right word.
Yes, right.
And, yeah, you have
Brian Budd Award as well.
Yeah, we have a Brian Budd Award in honor of my buddy Brian, who passed away 2008, and it honors an individual who not only excelled in the game of soccer, but went on to do other things in life that that through soccer made him a better person.
Mm.
So it's an important award.
Very important.
I'd like to add about how much of an inspiration the Canadian National Soccer Hall of Fame was, because as both you know, Bobby and Nigel, I'm from Hamilton, and it was because
right.
of that Hall of Fame that we actually decided to create our own, which is right. a city-specific Hall of Fame. So to the extent that this Hall of Fame can do that to other communities across the country, I think only bodes well for our soccer community.
And it's all part of building the game, Nick and, mm-hmm. and Ron, because, you know, as we try to create that important word called culture, so that we can make the young boys and girls feel, you know, that the game is part of everyday life, not only on the field but off the field. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know those men and women that came before the new generation, and because that drives them and gives them the thirst to succeed and to excel. How's that sound?
Good.
You're staring at me.
No, I'm listening intently.
Oh, okay.
As I do.
Yeah.
As I tend to do to you, because
And you know what? I'm proud to be Canadian.
There you go.
And you know, and I hope that we whip the U.S. on Sunday, as I hope the U.S. loses their next three games in qualification, because I want Canada to be, you know, the CONCACAF representative for World Cup play from this point on forward. And I would do anything in my power to help our programs get better. And Nick will talk a lot more about other people wanting to do the same.
Should mention, too, Nigel, that the Hall of Fame was the result of Bill Hoyle's vision.
Yes.
Who put it together and started it and kept it going. And it's our responsibility now to keep it moving forward. We're to a point now where we need to look at expansion.
Right.
The history of the game and the awards and all the people who are involved has caused it to look at some more infrastructure and you know, increasing the size of it. So by all means, people want to come up and have a look at it. It's there. It's there for everybody's viewing.
So it's open 9 till 5.
9 to 5.
That's what you were about to say.
Yeah.
There we
yeah,
go.
9 to 5.
Let's talk about what's happening on the field. Sunday, Canada against the US. It's being billed as the rematch, which is kind of handy for the CSA to sell it out in record time. Mm. And good luck to them. I think that's actually not a bad thing for the players, that they actually are playing in front of a full stadium, a partisan crowd. They're playing, of course, a very good team. I would take issue, by the way, with the CSA charging for the practice. I think that is wrong, but that's just my opinion. Let's talk about this particular game and the rematch tag, because I'm not sure that it is that as such. I mean, we're not talking about an Olympic medal at stake. I mean, that ship has sailed. What I do think this is important about this game is that John Herbin has, of course, all the experienced players, the Sinclairs and the Mathesons and the LeBlanc. But at some point in the next couple of years, and he started to do this, he's got to start blooding those younger players against top quality opposition so that he knows exactly what he has to work with when he's a lot closer to Canada hosting in 2015.
Yeah, and that's true. And John Herdman has told us the last time he was on the show that the more he plays the best teams in the world, the more it helps him understand how to get his teams so that we can compete even better against the best team in the world. So this game on Sunday, it is a grudge match. Make no mistake about it. The Canadian girls feel that they were the better team in England. For whatever reason, it didn't go their way. This is a grudge match. There'll be a lot of emotion. But more importantly, it's another opportunity to improve the way that these girls are playing, and they need to improve in order for them to regularly compete and beat the teams in the top five or six in the world.
Well, they're not regularly going to beat the top five or six teams in the world. We know that, and the reason we know that is because when, you know, we break this down, technically the Canadian players for players are not as good as the Americans. They're not as good as the French. They're not as good as the Japanese. They're not as good as the Germans. They're not as good as the Brazilians. But where Herbin is trying to get his team is to a place, Nick, where they can at least give themselves a chance and maximize their own capabilities, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very impressed with John, obviously, as many fans are across the country. I describe him as a cerebral tactician. I mean, he's a very inspirational figure. Had his chance to travel with the team as a delegate. His speeches are outstanding, but more than that, he is a soccer nut. He loves it. He's passionate, and he shares that passion with the ladies. With regards to rankings, as you said, you know, we might be 7th or 8th in the world, but the difference is not really the top 5 or 6 echelon. The difference is now the numbers from 15 to 8. The gap used to be ginormous, if that's a word, you know, 10 to 15 years ago. That gap is now getting smaller and smaller and smaller, to the point that we're actually lucky we're hosting in 2015 because we have a guaranteed slot of entry. So really, John Herdman's you know, modus operandi and his raison d'etre is not so much to be in the top 3 now. It's to make sure that the numbers 8 to 15 don't catch up and surpass Canada, to maintain our position in the upper echelon.
Yeah, I would think, Ron, that you know, his main focus, or one of his main focuses, bearing in mind that Canada gets to host the Women's World Cup in 2015, is that Canada isn't the first team to be eliminated from its own World Cup, which, let's not forget, it was in Germany.
Correct. And I know that we're focused on getting past the first round, past the second round, to the final stage. And I'm looking forward to a great build-up of our fan base as well. We need to play more games in this country, Nigel, both for the men and the women. You know, we need to have the CSA and our international partners continue to provide more games. That exposure, as you said, the game was sold out like in 2 hours. We need more of that across Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's encouraging in itself. And I think that these younger players, the Leons and the Buchanans and the Camerons, who, you know, we just don't know whether they're going to be good enough for 2015 until Herdman throws them in alongside the Sinclairs and the Mathesons and the Scots, and whether or not they are, you know, it's sink or swim, isn't it?
And he has a succession planning program in place because, you know, he has a long-term responsibility. And that's actually a refreshing perspective because, let's face it, national coaches typically get hired to get fired. And in this particular case, we want him here for the long haul. So his responsibility is not just the first team, but it is the 21, the under-19, the under-17, and so on. And I'm hopeful that we do have the clubs and the districts, as you described, Ron, giving him the inventory that he's going to require to help kind of fill in those voids as we move forward.
Nick, and you can pass this on to your fellow board members at the CSA. As much as we're building for the 2015 Women's World Cup, let's not forget the men's team. Mm-hmm. We still have a coach to hire. Yeah. I'm surprised you guys haven't hired one yet. What the hell's going on? That's one. Two, let's make sure that the men's team play as many important games as the ladies. Okay. Don't get caught up in the euphoria of marketing and getting sponsorships for the ladies and the World Cup here. The men's program is still the one that we have to fix.
I'm going to let Nick answer that, but not just yet, because Dan's shouting in my ear. But we will address all those issues when the soccer show continues. You're watching on Sportsnet World and listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
We're always interested in your opinion. It usually makes more sense than ours, so please email the show, nigel@fan590.com. Or if you can squeeze your opinion into 140 characters, that's all you get. Don't worry about the punctuation. We won't be marking it. Tweet me @Nigel_Reed. @Nigel_Reed. Lauren did that. Tweeted the show. Nigel, how will next year's format of the Canadian Championship, how would it look like? Is the Ottawa Fury is going to join the fold? Maybe a 4th versus 5th play-in? Don't know. Maybe we've got the man who can answer it. Maybe we haven't, but we'll certainly kick it around to the table. If you haven't heard, the Ottawa Fury are there or thereabouts, and they will presumably join FC Edmonton and the bigger teams. Mm-hmm. And if you look a little further afield, the US Open Cup this week has provided one or two upsets along the way. So slowly but surely. I mean, I wonder what the FA Cup looked like after 5 or 6 years. It wasn't the tournament it is now. From little acorns, ladies and gentlemen, these things grow. Reid Nyerushi, along with the OSA president, Ron Smale, and alongside him, Nick Bontis, who is a CSA director, and has been for about 12 months now.
That's
Nick,
right, 12 months. Yeah, got elected last year.
Ah, well, there you are. You've preempted me. Yeah. I was going to say, did you get elected or did you get appointed?
No, I was elected.
Because they have both now, don't they?
They do in the transition period that we're facing right now until we fully do the governance reform. Well, it will be solely elected individuals.
So for our listeners and viewers who aren't necessarily up to speed mm-hmm. with the reform process, can you encapsulate in a sentence or two?
Yeah, I'll do it.
How that,
30 yeah. seconds or
yeah.
less.
Yeah.
Traditionally, the CSA was what we would call kind of a provincially federated structure, where it was really just a collection of presidents of all provincial bodies. And unfortunately, when you get around the table talking about the health of the national game, you're going to get territorial if you're the Ontario president. Sorry, Ron. Or if you're the BC president or the Quebec president. So removing those kind of entitlements and territorial turf wars was the number one goal. And how did we do that? By looking at competency-based management skills. So for example, I have a PhD in strategy. I'm a university professor in strategy. We need a strategy person for the CSA, and that's the role that I fill. So all the different directors right now in soccer, in Canadian soccer, are either lawyers or accountants or strategists. They're actually competency-based, so we can move the game forward.
Maybe one day you'll bring a soccer player on the board.
That's right.
Hey, Nick?
That's right.
Hey,
you know what?
There's a competency that you're missing right now.
I'm going to address that issue, Bobby, because I know you're emotional. You know what? I'm emotional, too.
I'm not emotional. I'm factual.
Yeah. Well,
you're
I'm emotional
a soccer
about it, too.
Player.
So let me tell you what our logic is with that. Yeah. We are going through, and when I say globally exhaustive review, I'm telling you, it's a globally exhaustive review. I've been reviewing these resumes just like my colleagues have. We are not settling for a third, fourth, fifth, sixth class tier individual. All I can say is trust the CSA. This is a long process because the person that we finally select will be the right individual for the actual trajectory that we need to move the men's game forward. And Bobby, you're absolutely right. I've seen it with my own eyes with our research that we've done so far. It's great that the women won the bronze, but until men make the dance, we will be a second-class soccer
nation. But TSC is an example that when you don't have experienced soccer people, then you don't get the right coach.
That's right. And it's a tactical decision.
TSC, 7 years, they haven't had a coach with experience.
Yeah.
They'd put somebody in there that knew soccer. Maybe he would be able to leaf through some of those resumes and capture the right person.
Yeah. And I'm not going to speak for TFC. That's a tactical decision that they made.
It's just an example, right?
But, I mean, I can talk to Ron. Ron is my boss, technically, as a coach of a youth team in Ontario. And guess what? Ron won't let me coach unless I'm certified.
Can you understand why people might scoff at a comment like, trust the CSA?
Right. Absolutely, I can see why they would say that. No. But what we want to do is make sure that the soccer community as a whole appreciates that this is a critical hire. This is a critical juncture in soccer. And this is why, frankly, I think I've been brought on board to drive the new strategy forward for Canadian soccer. So I'm taking this job very, very seriously. I can assure you that I spend every waking moment thinking about the answer to this question, who will lead our men's team moving forward? So it is a serious issue.
And is it just a matter of money when all is said and done?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Because we've allocated the budget for the types of salaries that we know the world-class coaches require. That's done. That's part of the budgeting process right now. It is simply a matter of trying to find the right person. And with regards to timing, let me also add, because some people want a coach for the Gold Cup, and I don't necessarily think we will have a coach for the Gold Cup. But like I said before, when the time comes to actually appoint the right person, that person's aim will be here for the long haul.
Let's quickly talk about what we invited you in to talk about, which is this new CSA initiative. If I'm reading it right and if I can paraphrase, you're basically saying to the great Canadian public, we want to know what you think, how you would drive this forward, what we're missing, what your passions are.
Sure. So very simply, we celebrated our 100th anniversary last year. And for 100 years, a group of men, let's face it, for the longest time, it was men sitting around the table, said, this is what we're going to do, as if they knew the answers to all the difficult questions. I'm taking the exact opposite approach, 180 degrees. We don't know the answers. If we did, Bobby, we wouldn't be ranked 80th in the world. So what I'm saying as a strategy is, let's go out to the community. There are experts out there. There are opinionated individuals, and we will ask them. And we're doing two parallel tracks, Nigel. One is a subject matter experts track, where I'm personally visiting all the different communities across the country, speaking to the pro teams, to the provincial associations, to the districts, to the little grassroots parents, mom-pop shops, as well as a crowdsourcing web-based tool that we're using to get more feedback from more people.
Something that Bob and I have spoken about, and Bob is somewhat hesitant to speak about because he is a member of the alumni and he tends not to push himself forward. And I think he and the McGrains and the DeVosses and the Stolteris of this world wants not necessarily power. They want to give back. They want to have a voice.
Absolutely.
Why hasn't the CSA traditionally reached out and embraced the alumni like Bob, who just want to help?
So I don't want to be flippant with my response, yeah. Nigel, but I'll tell you, I've actually reached out. I have reached out to the alumni. I'm close to McGrain. I'm talking to Jason almost every single day. I know who the influencers are in this community, and I'm with them every single day. We have a tool, and I'm going to do the selfish salesman's plug right now. It's www.canadasoccer.com/story. www.canadasoccer.com/story. I encourage any soccer fan, any soccer lover out there to log in and tell me what you think we should do as the top strategic priority for our game moving forward. That is my sole responsibility over the next month, is to collect all this information across the country. And like I said, not to say that Bobby or the Jason DeVosses of the world have any less or more expertise than others, but I just want to be holistic, because if we are holistic from coast to coast, then we will find the solution that will help solve the problem coast to coast.
Well, if you need me to write to you, Nick, then you guys have a problem.
Okay, well, I don't need to write to you.
We don't need to write to you for you to realize that I have something to offer,
okay,
as does Jason. You don't need our story down in two paragraphs so that you can have it holistically with everybody else's. So, I mean, I take exception to that, quite frankly. I find it a bit silly and inane. I mean, if you don't realize that we have myself, Stoltieri, DeVos, McGrain, the expertise to help you, then, you know, quite frankly, you don't need our help.
Well, Bobby, I think honestly, what I'm trying to tell you here is that those individuals are not being sent an email and expecting me to write an essay or response to them. I'm speaking to those individuals. I'm asking for their insight. I'm going to the pro teams, because you're absolutely right. If we don't have a more fluid and larger scalable pro league in this country, our men's team will suffer. So this takes work.
It takes
a lot of effort. The other problem that we have in this country, Bobby, is that we have 7,000 kilometers from one coast to the other, and we have to make sure that we embrace the opinions of every individual, because let's face it, there have been a lot of jurisdictions in this country that have good soccer that have been ignored for far too long.
Mm. And you mentioned Pro League there. I know that's something, Ron, that is close to your heart in terms of having a structure which the young players can get involved with. That structure is changing at provincial and hopefully nationwide as well.
Yeah, we've started with our OPDL league, which is going to be a standards-based league, which will obviously feed a pro league. But the pro league right now isn't just properly structured, properly set up. And we talked earlier before the show about the need to get that in place. And we've got to move, in a very strategic and very structured process. Pro soccer is very, very important for an athlete who comes into the system to aspire to. Right now in this country, there's nothing to aspire to from that sort of graduated way of moving forward. So it is high on the priority. We need to work with our CSA partner. We want to align with the CSA. We want to take the jurisdictions, and we want to set things up properly so that we can get that alignment going forward. So there is a pathway for an athlete.
And as far as these young players are concerned, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people, not only journalists, but also people involved with the youth clubs. And part of the problem, I think, is that the critical age, and there are various critical ages, but at sort of 12, 13, is just keeping them in the game.
Keeping them in the game is an issue. Certainly the golden years, the 8 to 12 year, we're going through a whole LTPD process of no standings, no stats, no scores. I mean, it's great to talk about the highest level in the game, but if we're not teaching our athletes properly, if we're not learning the game properly from a technical, tactical, creative perspective, then we're never, ever going to succeed in this country. So from our perspective, we're a factory, and we need to set those processes in place. So there's a lot of work to be done, and to Nick's comment, the governance change will help. But it's going to take time, and we need to change too provincially going forward.
Problem is, we want everything done yesterday. We keep hearing
it's not going to happen.
And everybody wants, the whole takes time. It's something that, it grates, doesn't it?
People become very frustrated, and they become frustrated with the process, and they say the same old, same old. Well, it's not the same old. We got some good people in this country, right across this country, good people in this province who are working very, very hard to tee it up. We're in communication all the time. I know our technical people are in communication all the time. That's something that wasn't there in the past. There's a lot of stuff that goes what I'll call behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. All they see is what they see on TV or what's happening in front of them. So to next comment, a lot of good work is being done. I'm asking people to be patient.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I
you hearing
like
anything that's making you feel warm and fuzzy now?
No, I'm just...
You got
look,
a minute.
Look, I mean, I've been talking about this, and everybody knows it, for 7 years. And,
I know.
And even before, I had the privilege of being on radio. But for me, it's you need to work with what you got. And we've got a whole bunch of people who work, play, govern, referee this game. We need to coordinate them so that they can support, with the same passion, a house league program, a rep program, and eventually a senior program. And the senior program is the one that that really thrusts everybody into motion. Because if you don't have the cherry, as I said, on top of the
parfait,
yeah, then the other stuff is just babysitting.
Agreed.
We're going to have to continue this conversation elsewhere. You know why?
I don't know why.
Because the music's playing.
Really?
No, the dance has started.
I should have put the headphones.
They're going to throw me out. And they're going to bring in some professionals. So we want to say thanks to our guests, to Ron Smale and to Nick Bontis.
Thank you.
To our professionals the other side of the glass, who are Dan and Igor and Jennifer. He's Bobby Arushi, Hall of Famer. I'm Nigel Reed, so you don't have to be.
Future Hall of Famer.
Until next time, thanks for listening.